Welcome back to the Become a Client Magnet Expert Interview Series. I'm Ava Diamond, your host and creator of the series. You can find me at BigImpactSpeaking.com, and I'm excited about today's call. Today's call is 5 Steps to a More Empowered Voice so that you can deliver dynamic and irresistible presentations. And I've been a professional speaker for 16 years, but I can't wait to hear this information to see how I can make my voice even more powerful than I've been able to up until this point. And if you've been tuned into any of these calls, you've heard me say that this series came about because I've been talking to so many entrepreneurs who just don't have enough clients in their businesses. They have great messages. They've spent time and money developing their programs and their products and their services, but they're just not selling them. People aren't buying from them. And they're really not using speaking to get out there and promote their business, which, of course, is the fastest path to new clients and cash in your business. And they see other people making money from live events and virtual events, and they go, gosh, how do you do that? And they meet people at networking events, and they meet people at events, and they don't have systems to follow through. And so I really wanted to bring together a group of people that could help entrepreneurs get the information they need to turn all of that around and to get more clients and make more money and have a bigger impact. And I pulled together 9 of the coolest, smartest, most successful expert mentors I know who are sharing information with you over these 9 weeks. And this week's expert I'm very excited about. I'm going to introduce you in a moment to Orjina Rose. Hi, Orjina.
Hello there, Ava. How are you?
I'm awesome. So I met Orjina at Kendall Summerhawk's event, a month or two ago. And I was first exposed to her because she was the performer on stage. And I have seen a lot of performers that have stage presence, but Orjina has so much more than that. It's stage power. Every eye in the room was on her. Every heart in the room was connected to her. She had that room rocking and got a standing ovation every time she took the stage. She has the most incredible energy. So that's a little bit about her from my perspective. Now I'll tell you a little bit about her from her bio that gives you her credentials or her, but I'm telling you what I saw of her made me say if this woman would be on my expert interview series, it would be so cool because she would have such amazing information to share. I have since found out that she has performed on Broadway. She's performed at Carnegie Hall, and she's toured internationally. And she's been on Oprah and Conan and the Tony Awards and the Today Show and PBS and numerous commercials and voiceovers and movies where her music has been featured. And I can see why, having heard it. She also has over 18 years' experience as an award-winning vocal coach and director and acting coach for many theaters and conferences and arts organizations and educational institutions like the Westminster Conservatory in Princeton, New Jersey, and the Lee Strasberg Institute in Hollywood, and the AMDA College and Conservatory, where she's on the voice faculty. So she brings incredible expertise and gets amazing results. She's had students go on to win the Mrs. America talent competition and perform on American Idol and have successful and fulfilling careers. So I feel really, really lucky to have Orjina with us today. And I know you and me, we're all going to learn so much from her. So, Orjina, I'm going to start with a really general question, because one of the things you say is that your voice says a lot about you. So part of that scares me and part of that intrigues me. So what does our voice say about us?
Well, Ava, you know, there's a very common saying that most of us have heard, and that is you never get a second chance to make a good first impression.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very true, and especially true about our voices. There are three things that really stand out, you know, especially if you're giving teleseminars or presentations or speeches or even coaching all day. How you sound can really make or break your business. And those three things that we're kind of all responding to are what I call the three T's. And one is tone, and the other is timbre, and the third is tempo. So your tone, your pitch, how high or low do you speak? You know, lots of women can speak very, very high, and that's a lovely thing, but if they're staying there, well, that's going to give a certain response to the rest of us hearing. And mm-hmm. also our timbre, whether your sound is breathy or nasal, those sorts of things is what we're talking about when we say timbre. And then, of course, the tempo. How fast or slow do you speak? If it's too fast, obviously, we're not going to catch everything you're saying. Mm-hmm. And if it's too slow, well, we might lose a little bit of interest because that may read as not quite so interesting or exciting. So sometimes that can just kind of turn us off. So absolutely, these three things are, you know, when we're speaking, those three things are really coming through for us, as well as accents. You know, if folks have accents, those types of things can also really speak to us, whether or not we can understand them, whether or not people are enunciating clearly enough so that we can understand the words. I have an interesting situation. I was listening to Ishmael Tete, who's an amazing luminary from Africa, and he was telling us this story about how, you know, he was filling out some documents, and when he, you know, was done filling out those documents, he asked what to do, and he was told, you know, they said to him, use condom. And he thought, wait, what did I just hear? And and they said, use condom. And he said, of course, you know, we're all sitting there too, we're thinking, oh my gosh, what kind of an instruction is that? And after a bit of kind of going back and forth around it and it being slowed down and clearly enunciated, what he was being told was, you scan them. And so that, I love that story because it's such an amazing example of exactly why it's important to make sure we're really enunciating, which is one of the things that I teach very much in my vocal classes and courses and so forth. So those three things as accents and other techniques are all of those sorts of things that we're all responding to when we hear someone speak. That really gets into two, especially if you think about sound. Well, how is sound created? Sound is simply vibration. It's created when air passes over our vocal cords, and then that sound vibrates. That air passing over the vocal cords creates a vibration, and that vibration resonates into different parts of our bodies and then out to the world, and we resonate or not with that. So that's what I mean when I talk about how your sound really can make or break your business.
Well, Gina, I know that you attend a lot of events as I do, and we meet so many women. And what I find troublesome when I meet some women is that they sound like they're 12 years old.
Absolutely.
So as we're talking about tone and timbre, I mean, tempo, I could see it's pretty easy to control your tempo,
right,
or to make changes in your tempo. And, of course, when you're giving a speech, you want to make sure there's variation and variety in your tempo.
Absolutely.
But talk to me about tone and timbre. Are those things changeable? Or if a woman has a little girl voice, is she really stuck with a little girl voice?
Absolutely not, and absolutely yes, those things can be changed. The whole idea is your voice is an instrument, and it is something that you have control over, and you can be taught where to resonate. So I just spoke a bit about vibration and resonance. So you can resonate into different parts of your body, and that's really the core of what I teach, when I'm giving vocal lessons or vocal coaching is how to resonate into different parts of your body and showing you the techniques and tools to do that. So no, you are absolutely not stuck, especially, and I have worked with this one particular woman comes to mind, and she truly did sound not even 12. I think it would take it more and more around 5 years old. She just had this very high sound, but she was resonating into one specific part of her body, her head area, and not into the lower parts of her body. And I teach a technique I call whole body resonance so that you can learn how to really get your sound to vibrate and resonate and feel into different parts of your body when you are just even speaking.
Yeah, because I think back to one of my clients. In addition to the speech coaching that I do, I also do organizational consulting, which was my first career. Mm-hmm. And one of my clients is the university where I live, Colorado State University, and I was working with a leadership team there, and there was a woman who was a small, pretty, young Asian woman.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
She had a very high-pitched voice,
mm-hmm.
and she, I know you've heard this, upticked at the end of her sentences so that
yes.
everything sounded like a question. So she was in a team of men who were, it was mostly men, they were all at least a decade older than her, and it was very difficult for this young woman who was so small and pretty and had this teeny little voice and made everything sound like a question
right.
to be held as credible by the rest
right.
of the team. And she actually had some brilliant insights and ideas, but
yes.
no one listened to her.
Yes, and you actually touch on two very, very key pieces, one of which, of course, is how we deliver a sentence. Of course, when we are asking a question, there is a natural, we bring something up. Would you like a cup of coffee? And we bring our sound up towards the end. Well, that's natural for a question. Unfortunately, some people and lots of women will do that, period. And that question sound to us does not sound like you know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't speak to us that you are confident in what you're saying and that you are really an expert at the information that you're delivering. And so you can really work against yourself with something as simple as that. And lots of people do that just automatically without even realizing they're doing that. Just as much as going down, you know, there's a natural downslope for certain things. Or by doing that, you're giving a certain message sometimes that, you know, you're not very happy or things are, you're not very excited about that. Well, you know, you say things like, well, I'm not feeling so good today, you know, that sort of thing. We kind of take mm-hmm. it down. And then some people also have a habit of dropping the ends of their sentences. So their vocal energy drops. So they can start out really exciting and then at the end, you didn't get anything at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something to speak about that. So these are three things that are just in even how to deliver a sentence. But then you speak on the other side, again, you know, younger people, period. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your size. It doesn't matter if you're female or male. And I do work with some male clients who also have very high voices that, again, if they're trying to work in the corporate world, it's not reading the way that they would like, and they're not having the kind of authority that they would like simply because of their voice. And so I work with them, and again, not only resonating into different areas, but feeling the different parts of where sound is placed in your body. It's a very specific, and it's actually not difficult, but if you're not even aware, A, of what you're doing, and B, of how to do it, well, then, you know, most people feel stuck. But that's absolutely teachable.
Well, is there anything, I know that you have an entire system and that there's a level of complexity and time that's required to really be able to do this. But I'm wondering, is there any exercise we can do quickly on this call which would give people a sense of where they're resonating and how they can move that, or is that too complex for a short exercise?
Oh, absolutely not complex at all. And actually, the things that I teach are things that you can do in 10 minutes a day. the literally, you know, the system that you spoke of, while it has steps to it and it is a step-by-step system, it's very easy, and it's literally the seven steps that I use are 10 steps. It takes 10 minutes to do it a day. And so my students, I really suggest for them to do it 10 minutes in the morning to set their voice for the day, so that literally all of their speaking is actually continually warming and strengthening the voice rather than wearing it out. And actually, I do have a wonderful exercise that I'd love to share with folks that can just, again, immediately start to connect you to the resonating that you do. First, I would love to share a breathing exercise, because breathing is actually, believe it or not, the foundation of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually, I was really shocked recently to have been online, and I saw, you know, a vocal teacher, and there's lots of vocal teachers and lots of vocal techniques out there. And this one particular one, I was just shocked and amazed, because he actually spoke about his thought that breathing had nothing to do with it. And I
really?
Thought, well, this is interesting, since in order to make sound, breath must pass over the vocal cords. And if you don't have enough breath, how is that going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And you hear lots of people having incorrect breathing techniques. You know, most of us are kind of gasp, you know, we've kind of gotten into bad habits. We go throughout our day. And we'll say, oh, well, yeah, I went to the store and I saw these cute shoes and, oh, I just decided to stop and have a cup of coffee. And you just hear this kind of gasping happen throughout our day and as we're speaking. And that's very shallow gasping. But if you
mm-hmm.
actually watch babies, and if you watch a baby lying on its back breathing, well, you see the entire stomach rising and falling. That is a deeper breathing way of breathing, and that is actually our natural and most healthy way of breathing. And so I'd love to share with you one of my breathing exercises that just helps to get that breath deeper into the body. And why that's important is because in order to get the fullest breath, and the breathing technique that I teach, it's a three-step power breathing, but I'm going to give you one of them. And the reason it's important is so that you can connect to your abdominal muscles. You know, there are many muscles in the abdominal cavity. One you hear lots of people may have heard of about the diaphragm. Well, the diaphragm is important, and we use it. It's actually a reflexive muscle. So it's not something you have to do. It happens automatically. If you get running out of breath, well, your body's naturally going to reach for that more breath through the diaphragm. But we want to engage all of our abdominal muscles when we take a nice deep breath. And you want to feel like you're breathing from the bottom of your abdominal cavity to the top and filling up from the bottom all the way up to the top into your lungs. So I'd love for everyone to just kind of either stand where they are or sit up nice and tall in your chair. Place your feet nice and flat on the ground. And when you sit up nice and tall, I'd like you to really take a nice deep breath in through your nose and really try to feel into the bottom of your abdominal cavity, your abdominal muscles. So everyone taking a nice deep breath in through the nose. And now exhale.
And do you want them to exhale through the nose or the mouth?
Exhale out through the mouth. So in through the nose and out through the mouth. Now, the technique that I'm going to give you is actually going to help you to feel that breath a little bit more, so it's not just passing in and passing out. So I'd love for everyone to breathe in through the nose. Take a nice deep breath in. And now exhale on an S. Now, the important thing when you do that exercise is that you want to make sure you get all the way to the bottom of your breath, or making sure you get all the way empty. All of the air is out, and you're using your muscles to push that last bit of air all the way out. And this is something that you can do. You can train your body to do this naturally so that you're not having to think about it, of course, when you're speaking. So So this one exercise is one of three that I teach, and then I actually do something special with all three of them to really create a power breath, and it's absolutely amazing. I have actually had it where by the end of just doing the breathing exercise, my sound, my speaking voice is already incredibly much more warm just by doing the breathing.
Wow, that would be incredibly powerful for
Absolutely.
People who are either speaking or, as you said, people who are coaching all day and are using their voice all day long.
Absolutely. So that you're not wearing yourself out. You're actually, you can be strengthening as you're speaking all day rather than feeling worn out vocally by the end of your day. It's incredibly powerful. And it's usually this lack of breath that's actually causing the most damage. There are other things, and we'll get into that in a moment, but this is actually foundational.
Well, and you know what's kind of, I don't know if funny is the right word or ironic, but women spend so much time holding their tummies in that
Absolutely.
They're reluctant to do the kind of breathing that is going to make their tummy poke out a little, which, of course, when you breathe effectively, you're breathing from down there.
You have to absolutely release those muscles. And not only just women, but I work with dancers as well, dancers who sing, and they're also taught the same thing. Everything is pulled up and in. And so they're also reluctant to release those muscles. But for breathing and for speaking and for singing, of course, you really need to allow yourself to release those muscles to get the deepest breath you possibly can. Then you can pull it all back up in when you go outside.
But I did want to bring that up because I know there are so many women listening to this call going, I ain't doing that. I got to hold my tummy in, and that's a big mistake.
Well, and remember, this is to warm up your voice. So these are things I actually have students, and I myself have done it. These are things you can do in the shower, you know, in your car as you're driving. It's preferable to do it while you're standing, but you can absolutely do it in the car. You know, when I was, getting started in my career, I would, you know, make trips from Philadelphia, where I was living, to New York all the time in my car. And I would literally spend a good chunk of that time doing the warm-ups and so forth that I teach, and do all of those exercises while sitting in the car. You know, I'd have to sit up nice and tall, and of course, you know, I'd have people looking at me strangely beside me, but it worked, and I got the, you know, jobs and things that I was going for. So you can absolutely do it in the shower, in the car, you know, somewhere where people aren't looking, and you don't have to worry about whether your little pouch is hanging out there.
So you said that breathing improperly is one of the mistakes, and you said there are others. What are other things that people do that really are hindering their ability to have as powerful a voice as they could have?
Absolutely. There are three huge mistakes that I see and hear constantly, and I've actually heard them surprisingly from even some of our kind of bigger folks who give talks and speeches and so forth. The number one biggest mistake that I have seen and heard on teleseminars, at speeches, conferences, and so forth, are that people do not have water. It's absolutely crucial to keep your vocal cords, or your vocal folds, as some people call them, moist. They must be wet. They must stay lubricated. It's just like a car. You have to keep that car with oil, or the engine's going to stop working and you're going to be out of a car. And so it's the same with our vocal cords, our vocal folds. We must have water. And when we speak, even just speaking, now I do an exercise, of course, for my singers that's really kind of phenomenal where, you know, and I don't do it as much because I like to be a little more green, but if you were to take a plastic bag and put it around your mouth and even just sing happy birthday, and it doesn't even matter how you sound or anything, just sing happy birthday into that plastic bag. By the end of singing something as simple and as short as happy birthday, you would have a little puddle of water in the bottom of that bag. Because just in that little bit of time, that's how much moisture you are using and losing when you speak or when you sing. And so it's incredibly important to keep replenishing and replacing that moisture, that lubrication for your vocal cords to work properly. So that is the biggest, biggest mistake I see. I do have two others, but I'd love to, when we start to get into some of the more kind of sound issues, you know, right now we're talking about breathing, and I'd love to give the other two when we're talking about that. I have some more exercises to share with folks.
Great. And do you want to talk at all about temperature of the water?
Absolutely, and that that's where I talk a lot about that and get into that when I talk about vocal health, what to do and what not to do and so forth. But, yes, the temperature of your water or any beverage or even food can really, you really want that water to be as much as possible at room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So any beverages and so forth, you don't want to have extremes of temperature because your vocal cords are reacting to that. If it's too cold, you're almost kind of putting your vocal cords into shock, and they're getting a little stiff there on you. Same thing with soda. You know, like I said, I really get into those things because so much of what we're taking in to our bodies is affecting our sound, is affecting our vocal cords. So,
and
yeah,
I've seen so many
water.
Speakers make that mistake of having a glass of ice water up there on the podium with them, and I'm like, No, girlfriend, get that ice out of there. You're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely awful, especially if you're delivering for a long period of time. You know, I have watched countless times, incredibly powerful speakers losing their voices during their conferences, during their 2 and 3 day events because they have, you know, done these and some of the other mistakes, you know, that I speak about. So, yeah, no ice water. Just ask for regular room temperature water. And especially when you go to hotels, they love to fill it up with ice. And just ask for your own water with no ice, and they'll be happy to bring it for you. Or bring your own. I love to bring my own bottled water.
So those are the breathing mistakes. Talk to us about some of the other mistakes. You said there's sort of this entire other category.
Well, yes. You know, when you get into, you know, as I speak about, you know, the 5 steps that, you know, that are really going to help you to have a dynamic and irresistible presentation, water is the number one because, again, you're not going to be very powerful if you're not able to deliver your material, if your vocal, if your sound is stifled. Breathing is the second. So, and we've touched on that, making sure you have correct breathing. And the third thing that is now we're getting into actual sound, and that is technique or vocal training. I like to call anyone who uses their voice for their career as a vocal athlete because you are. We are vocal athletes. And to really effectively use our instrument, because your voice is your instrument when it's your, you know, the basis of your career, it must be in tip-top shape. And you want to have the proper technique to, you know, train the voice, to warm it up, to strengthen the muscles supporting your sound, and to build stamina. Again, you know, those folks who are doing their 2 and 3 and sometimes week-long conferences, they would absolutely lose their voice if they're not having the proper technique and training.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, many of us saw the King's Speech movie, you know, and actually, you know, some of the techniques, you know, that are common to the industry were done in there. And you got to see that even just to prepare for a simple radio announcement or television announcement, that person needed to be trained and warmed to make sure. Now, of course, they had, you know, a specific problem that they needed to work through. But even without that, you would see lots of people making sure they have that coach or have the training, you know, to make sure they're delivering properly. So one of the things now that we're getting into sound, the second biggest mistake that I see and hear, and it's absolutely awful. It is one of the ways you can ruin your voice and lose it really quickly. And that is when you're wanting to clear your voice, people like to do, and I'm not going to do it the way it's done, but people like to do ahem. When we want to clear a voice, you hear lots of times people go ahem, and I'm doing it the nice way, but it's usually much more rougher, much more rough than that, yeah? So, and that is really incredibly straining on your voice. And to kind of illustrate that a little bit, I'd love for you to just, you know, put your hands together, take your hands, both of your hands, and just start clapping and rubbing. So if you were to clap and rub, clap and rub, clap and rub, and do that several times in a row quickly. Well, your hands, how does that feel?
warm and annoying.
Warm. Yeah, there's a little sting to it, yeah? And it starts to get a little hot if you were to keep doing that, that sort of thing. Well, that's what you're doing to your vocal cords when you ahem. You're literally kind of grating them against each other, slapping them against each other in a very harsh manner that can, again, quickly do a little bit of damage to your cords and wear you out certainly much quicker. Not to mention that, ironically, it actually stirs up more mucus. The very mucus you're trying to get rid of, it actually just stirs it around. It doesn't actually get rid of it. Now, the thing you want to do instead is to do what our bodies naturally do, and that is to cough. Just give a nice little cough and either, you know, get a napkin and relieve the mucus, or get some water and swallow, or just even cough and swallow if there's nothing else around. And that is the natural way. Then what's happening is it's just the equivalent of clapping. So if you're just naturally clapping, your hands don't hurt, of course, mm-hmm. unless you did that for about an hour and you did it really hard, it would. So, and which is the same thing that happens to our vocal cords. If we're coughing, you know, quite a bit for a long, long period of time, our cords get swollen and can get worn out. And that's also one of the ways you see people losing their voices, because their cords are now really, really worn down.
Wow, I had no idea. I've heard people do that, but
all
I had no
time.
Idea I had that kind of impact. Yeah,
all the time. And it's the thing, you know, it's probably one of the first things that I have to correct when people walk into my studio. I say, okay, right off the bat, let me give you this vocal tip. Stop doing that and start doing this.
Yeah, and most people just call it clearing their throat, and they do that.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And the thing of it, too, you know, you can do it if you don't add sound, but that's incredibly difficult for most people. Most of us
right.
do the ahem, and it's, you know,
right.
with sound. So that's why I speak consistently about just go to the cough, which is actually the natural reflex for us. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
that's a great tip for people.
It really is, and I love sharing it.
Yeah. So what other great things do you have to share with us under technique? I know you have an acronym called SAVE that's part of your process. Can you talk to us about those things and why they're important?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, what I'd love to, you know, when it comes to training the voice, we have come a long way, thankfully. You know, there are lots of old techniques, the old way people used to, you know, teachers used to use to kind of help people to train their voices and to, you know, build the kind of strength and stamina one needs if they're using their voice consistently. And some of those, unfortunately, were things like, you know, literally teachers used to punch their stomach. I've heard of this. Would punch their singers or their folks in the stomach while they were singing to make sure that their muscles were, you know, really flexed enough to sustain that punch while they were singing. And I thought, my goodness, you know, some of these, and you see people, and I have dear colleagues who, you know, will have their students lying on the floor and bent over. I myself went through lots of those different techniques, and they're all trying to get a certain thing and achieve a certain result. And while it's effective, it's a little more intrusive sometimes, and certainly the punching is actually abusive. So... So I love that now, you know, nowadays we don't go to that extreme, and certainly the techniques that I give are much more simple and straightforward. And so, like I said, I spoke about earlier, I teach a whole body resonance where you really can get into feeling sound in the different areas of your body. And that can really be done simply. Now, the SAVE that you speak of is actually a four-step process to achieve the best and clearest dynamic sound you can. It's not so much on the sound itself, but once you have really gotten your voice warm with, you know, some of the techniques that I use, and you're now ready to deliver whatever it is that you do vocally, the SAVE comes in there. I love using acronyms because it just helps me and lots of my students to remember. And so the SAVE, or SAVE, S stands for space. You want to make sure that you have enough space in your mouth. You, I'm sure you and many of us have seen people who are mumbling
mm-hmm.
when they're trying to speak, and you can barely understand what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just
mm-hmm.
kind of, you know, or lots of people just are even not used to opening their mouth when they talk. You know, especially in the United States, in America, we have a habit of just kind of not opening our mouth, not using our face, using our mouths fully when we speak. You know, lots of other countries, you watch them speak, their mouths are fully engaged, and it's really exciting to watch them. So space is one of the first things that I teach, making sure that there's enough. And there's a certain way to make sure you can test how much or how little is enough for the sound that you're trying to create. A stands for air, of course, making sure you have enough air for what you're trying to say. So, you know, especially when it comes to singers, they're needing to make sure they have enough air for the entire line that they're singing. Well, speakers, the same way. I have sat under this one particular speaker, and they would literally take these little gasps, like we talked about,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, every few words, and they would barely make it through an entire sentence before they're trying to, you know, take another breath. And it was incredibly distracting to their message. I really don't know what they were saying because the gasping throughout was really distracting. And
mm-hmm.
again, so that you have enough strength, vocal air and strength for the entire sentence, the point that you're trying to make, you want to make sure, of course, that you have enough air. And V stands for vowels. And this is really important, especially when it comes to those who may have accents, or, you know, even within the United States, have different regionalisms. People pronounce words very differently, and depending on where you're from, you may or may not understand what that person is saying. But if you are speaking on pure vowels, and there's actually a wonderful thing called the IPA, or the International Phonetic Alphabet, that actually helps any individual to be able to speak another language, no matter, even if they don't understand the words, they could actually break down the word in such a way to actually speak it. There is actually a story of Celine Dion doing that for quite a bit before she learned English, that she would literally be singing the words phonetically. So it's a wonderful tool to help us to learn languages, but it's also a wonderful tool to break down words so that we are speaking them clearly, which actually leads into the E, which is for enunciation. So, of course, we want to clearly enunciate our words so that we can be understood. Our incredible message can be understood, and to be able to give the proper emphasis on certain words the way we're wanting to, so that they can be understood. So that's the S-A-V-E, and that's actually, you know, once you start to get into presentations and performances, those four things are absolutely key.
And what I'm noticing as I hear many speakers
mm-hmm.
is that the enunciation isn't going well.
No,
you know,
that's
people run their words together.
Yes.
They don't speak clearly. I'm not
yes.
sure if you would characterize it as lack of enunciation or mumbling, but you know, I don't know if it's that they're not warming up their articulator muscles or
yes.
what the issue is, but some people, what they're saying sounds almost garbled.
Yes, absolutely. And then how would you respond to that? Not very well, because you can't understand it. So that's one of the ways that people are kind of shooting themselves in the foot. And
yeah.
along with that, if people are doing teleseminars or webinars and so forth, and they've created a little script for themselves, well, another huge mistake along with the garbled and not well enunciated words is that people are just kind of reading.
Yeah.
And there's not much emotion or
yeah.
you know, fluctuations of voice, you know, but again, back to the tone and the timbre. There's not much going on there. There's not the enthusiasm. They now have become stifled in their sound and delivery because they're kind of reading a script. And it's just really kind of boring. And it's absolutely inhibiting the kind of response they could have to their message.
So, Regina, we've talked a lot about here are things people are doing wrong, here are mistakes, here's
mm-hmm.
what you don't want to do, you know, here's the what not to do list.
Mm.
We've got maybe 15 or 20 minutes left. Let's spend our time talking about, okay, what should you do? What can you do? How can you have a stronger voice? How can you have better tone and timbre? How can you increase or take care of your vocal health?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm actually going to go from that last one and work backwards a little bit because, you know, as we have been speaking, we've talked a little bit about what not to do as well as what you do need to do. And the vocal health is something I'm just incredibly passionate about, how to take care of our instrument, the voice. Because just like our bodies, if we don't take care of it, it's not going to work so well for us. So it's the same thing with our voice. So, and I have this entire vocal health kit that I talk, give you wonderful tips on what to do to take care of your voice. And in this kit, it talks about herbs that strengthen your voice naturally. There are actually things that you can drink and or eat, teas and so forth, that you can do to naturally strengthen your voice and get it to be more powerful. It's really quite amazing when I learned about those things. And also there are products that numb your voice, and so you want to avoid those. But then, again, there are things that you want to do. Like one of my favorite things, and no, I'm not, you know, I don't get anything for promoting or anything like that, but one of my favorite things to use, and singers and speakers all over are using it, and that is throat coat tea. It's something really simple but incredibly natural and healthy that can actually, if you do find yourself having any kind of hoarseness or inflammation, if your throat is swollen, this simple tea, which you can get, you know, at any health store, and lots of other stores are starting to carry it because I think the word is spreading, it will literally take the numbness away. I have been hours before a performance and had no voice, and I truly mean not a sound was coming out of me, and I've had this throat coat tea, and within 2 hours I have had a voice. And so it's really an amazing thing, and it's literally just slippery elm bark. It's a natural ingredient that uses it, that creates that amazing result for you. Also,
that's great to know. I wrote that down.
yeah. I'm telling you, that has transformed many a singer and many a speaker, where you're literally right before you have to sing or speak, and you need to make sure your voice is there. That's there. And of course, some of the exercises, you know, that I have, are wonderful for, again, making sure. And one of the ones I would love to share, too, before we go, and this is now that we're in kind of the sound segment, I call this the massage for your voice, because literally it is a massage for your voice. And it's super simple, and it's super easy, and it's one of the quickest and easiest ways you can at least begin to warm your voice up, and which you absolutely want to do before you're going to use it for a good chunk of time. So for teachers, for speakers, and so forth, this little exercise. Now, you're going to be surprised because you might do it if you're in a good mood and there's a lovely tune you want to sing. But even if there's not a tune, it's literally humming. Humming is one of the easiest and simplest ways you can to begin to warm your voice up, and you can just hum, and I do one I call the hum and slide. So you hum, you slide the voice up, and you slide the voice down. So it can be and you take it from the bottom of your voice, wherever that is, and all the way to the top of your voice, wherever that is. So there's not any notes or pitches you need to match. You simply hum from your bottom, slide it all the way up, and slide it all the way down. And that's, again, a beginning of a wonderful way to simply and easily warm your voice up so you can have a wonderfully powerful delivery vocally.
Well, thank you for sharing that exercise, and I hope everyone on the call is going to try that. If not right at this moment, then when you hang up the phone, because one of the reasons I invited Orgina is her voice is so incredible. And if she can give us some tips on this call so that our voices can be much more powerful with the work we're doing, that'll be awesome. And, of course, we'll give you an opportunity to get in touch with Orgina to work with her longer term. But it's wonderful to be able to have these exercises, Orgina, so that each of us, when we hang up the phone, can implement them and make our own voices stronger as we do our speeches, do our events, do our teleclasses and coaching calls.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of my third favorite tips is one that won't be a surprise to anyone, but it's usually one that's difficult for us to do, and that is to simply rest. Rest our bodies. Again, the body, your voice is within your body, and your body is the instrument, so you need to rest it. I know we all know some those times when we're not rested and we get up, and if we're not feeling well, we wake up without a voice, and many will panic. And I do, you know, parts of the exercises, I have a wonderful kind of three steps, again, to help to bring the voice back. But if you find that you're, you know, losing your voice, usually, you know, by the end of the day or something like that, if you can't actually physically rest, then don't talk. it's kind of silly and simple, if you can, to avoid talking, to rest the voice and start to notice, you know, how much we use our voices throughout the day. And so obviously yelling and those sorts of things we want to avoid as well. But and that we may not even realize we're doing. You know, lots of folks may go out after work or after an event and want to go to a restaurant where there might be music and or a band playing. And then you must raise your voice over top of all of that to speak to your friends. And so that will actually can really do wear yourself out, wear your voice out. Again, if you're not properly warmed and don't have the proper training and strength and stamina to be able to support that, certainly at the end of a long day. And, of course, with vocal health, I talk about certain things that, of course, we want to avoid or not to do as much, but also more things to do. Like if you are, what do you do if you are hoarse? What do you do when you are sick and you must use your voice? You have a major presentation coming up. What do you do? And so I love getting into that as well. And all of the vocal health, a lot of these tips and so forth are in the vocal health kit that I have that I want to gift to everyone on this call so that you can begin today to absolutely start taking care of your voice, your instrument, so you can have amazing and powerful presentations.
Wow, that's a very generous offer, and we'll talk about the details of that a little more at the end of the call, but how wonderful that not only are they going to get the tips on this call, but they'll have that free gift from you so that everybody can make their voices stronger and more powerful with some of your tips in your kit. That's wonderful. Thank you.
You're so welcome. It's my pleasure. It's really a passion of mine to help each and every person to better their own voices, to know how to take care of them, and to get their sound out there, to find their voice. You know, one of the biggest, and this will be kind of my biggest tip that I received, and I use it especially with my singers, but it really applies to anyone, and I call it the 90-10 rule. And what that speaks to is for singers, especially, and my first vocal coach was the one to give me this, and she said that singing is 90% mental. And I didn't get it at all at the time when she said it, and it took many years over my career to really fully understand what that meant and how incredibly powerful it is that really our own thinking is literally the catalyst for how we're going to deliver our presentations, our performances with our voice. And that's the mindset, and that is actually the last step of the five steps, and that's something I get into quite in depth about helping us to kind of release old beliefs and that sort of thing. Because believe it or not, I was actually told I couldn't sing. Yes.
And having heard you sing, I'm just sitting here. I was silent for a moment because what came to my mind was profanity. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to say that. So I was translating into something I could say on a call. Like, so I went to Holy Smokes because that wasn't the first thing that came to my mind. The first thing that came to my mind was holy with another S word because I've heard you sing. And I'm like, how could that be?
Yes. It is really quite amazing. And it was by a choir teacher, actually, as well. And I was younger. And this choir teacher literally was like, well, you're a lovely dancer, but, you know, singing's not your thing. That's not for you.
Oh, my.
And I was absolutely devastated at the time. But thankfully, I, you know, was a little spunky, and I thought, well, I'm going to show her. Now, what she didn't know and what many of us don't know is that, well, my voice simply wasn't trained. I didn't have any sort of technique whatsoever. I didn't know how to bring out the best sound out of my body, and so it was kind of weak. It was breathy, the timbre, you know, that we spoke of. It wasn't very strong. It wasn't very powerful. Well, but that message really stuck in my head for many, many years, and I actually stopped singing for 3 years because of it. And, you know, it was literally really having to go through a lot of the steps that I now teach to bring my own sound out, to find my voice, to find my inner and outer voice, and to release a lot of those old messages. And I'll tell you, Ava, I have been really shocked in my years of teaching and, you know, probably now thousands of people, and how many people have been told that very same message. How many people have also been told in one way or another, overtly or, you know, with the little elbow into the ribs or the little shush, you know, symbol coming at them, that they cannot sing or they don't sound good. And so people have really lots of fear around their sound. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely am on a bit of a personal mission to really help release people from that and to help them to know, indeed, yes, they can. You know, I actually have a workshop called Yes, You Can Sing, because most people don't think that they can, or they think that they're tone deaf and things of that sort. And that's an incredibly rare situation. They simply don't know how. You know, it would be the equivalent of if today you just jumped into a car, behind the wheel of a car, and you couldn't drive. Well, would we tell you you couldn't drive? No. We would simply tell you to go get some lessons, go take some driving lessons, go get some coaching, some instruction on how to do that. And so that's why I am as passionate as I am about really teaching people to get the most wonderful sound out of their voice, to love their voices, to really be comfortable and confident in their sound.
And I so agree with you, Regina, about mindset, because that's mm-hmm. where everything starts.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I do speech coaching for people that want to speak on stage, and that's where I always, always start, is with the mindset. Even in my 10-week group program, the first week is on mindset, because that really is where it all begins. And I'm so glad you brought that in as one of your key points.
Mm-hmm.
I have one more small question, or it may be a big question, depending on what the answer is, before we move to your free offer, because I'm noticing we're moving toward a time when we have to begin to wrap up.
Yes.
I found somewhere in, maybe it was on your website, where you had a short quiz. And the second question in the short quiz was, do you trip over your words and say or when giving presentations?
Yes.
And I find with my speech coaching clients, that's one of the most difficult things for them to get over, is getting rid of the and the And I have ways that I teach them to do it, but I'm fascinated to hear, what do you tell people to do to begin to eliminate that from their speech?
Actually, Ava, it's kind of ironic. The way that I approach that is around mindset. It actually goes right back to the mindset. If we're not confident and we're not sure what to say, then we will kind of, again, back to script. So one of the things I do is scripting. Of course, I help people to develop a very clear script, you know, their kind of elevator speech. What do they say on those 2 minutes when people ask, what do you do? And people kind of go, and mm-hmm, so forth, mm-hmm. and kind of trip around because they're not sure. So literally that is simply a symptom of not being clear about what you need to say. And so I love to help people to know what to say and develop their kind of three steps or three words, and if they have a script in front of them, how to utilize that, because you can have that script, but if you don't know how to bring it alive mm-hmm. and accents, mm-hmm. you know, in voiceover, when I, you know, do voiceover, you have to know how to mark that script. You know how to need to know how to mark that copy so that you're going to deliver it powerfully and clean every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, especially with voiceover, you know, time is money and you're in the studio. You cannot keep with the uhs and ums. You can't add that in. You cannot do any additional sounds to that copy. So mm-hmm. that's where if you have your script, you have your speech, you need to know how to mark it correctly so that you're going to be able to deliver it absolutely cleanly, absolutely powerfully every single time.
Yeah, that's great advice, because I think that is a credibility killer, an
yes.
instant credibility killer. It
instant.
Makes you sound like you don't know what you're talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely. Whereas, you know, the people that you do hear, when they're excited and they're exuberant and they really get right to the point, they speak it dynamically right from start to finish, their vocal energy is there, you are absolutely captivated,
that's
and
right.
you're saying yes inside instantly right away.
That's right, that's right.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So as we begin to move toward our closing, Orgina, and I wish this were a two-hour call because I'm fascinated, and I would just love to bring people more and more and more and more information, and I
yeah.
know you have ways for them to get more. So I know you're offering them the free vocal care report kit.
Yes.
Tell them exactly what it is and then
okay.
how they can go get it.
Absolutely. So in this vocal health kit, you are going to know exactly what to drink, what not to drink, what to eat, what not to eat, herbs, again, that will strengthen your voice naturally, products and things to avoid because they may numb your voice or cause hemorrhaging or vocal hemorrhaging and that sort of thing, which, believe it or not, even for simple speakers is an issue. Teachers are actually one of the biggest people who really suffer with these sorts of things. You'll get also what to do when you're sick, and you must use your voice. You have to give that presentation. What do you do? Second biggest mistake, and so for all of the biggest mistakes, and then what to do to correct them. You'll also get other tips, especially around the red zone, and I get into what that is and how to avoid it, or if you find yourself in it, what to do to get out, and so many other tips and tricks and so forth to help to really take care of your voice and get the best out of it.
Well, I think anyone who's on this call and does not go get that is nuts. So tell them how they can get it.
All right. You simply go to www.orginarose.com, and that is spelled O-R-G-E-N-A-R-O-S-E.com. And you go right to that page, and you'll see it right at the top, and you just click on it, put in your email address, and you will receive it immediately.
Wonderful, because that sounds like it would have such high value. And for those of you who didn't get the URL, when we send you the email that has the link to the replay, we will have this URL in there for you as well, so that you can just click on that link and it'll take you right there. So if you didn't capture it, I'll say it again, but if you didn't capture it, it'll be in the follow-up email you get. And it's www.orginarose.com. And I know I'm going to go get my copy, because as a professional speaker, if there's stuff in there that I don't know about that I need to know, I'm going to
Absolutely.
Get my copy. And I would urge everybody on the call to do the same. So, Orgina, thank you again so much for agreeing to do this. As I said, when I met you at Kendall's event, I said, I just have to get her to share her wisdom and her information with the people who are going to be on this series, because you are one of the most powerful performers I have ever seen. And as I said at the top of the call, it went way beyond stage presence to stage power. And I think anyone who is on this call, what they really want to be able to convey is that stage power, whether they're literally on a stage or on a stage through the telephone, through coaching or teleseminars. They need to be able to have that stage power. And I think you've given them some wonderful tips to be able to embody that for themselves so that they can have a more empowered voice and be more powerful in delivering dynamic and irresistible presentations. So thank you again, Orgina.
Oh, Ava, thank you so much for both your kind words and your incredible excitement around it and for inviting me to be a part of this. It has absolutely been my pleasure.
Wonderful. So I'm going to go over and stop the recording, and I urge the rest of you to go over and grab that free gift because I think this one's a don't miss.
Wonderful.